Welcome to Field Notes, a production of the Prince William Sound Science Center.
So here I'm talking to John Trocta and Trevor Branch. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell me where you work and what do you do there?
I'm John, and I am a graduate student at the University of Washington in Seattle. And I am currently going for my master's degree studying mathematical models of herring in the Prince William Sound.
And I'm Trevor Branch, also at the University of Washington. I'm an associate professor in aquatic and fishery sciences. And my work involves sitting in front of a computer trying to figure things out, like pulling data together and answering big questions, or writing computer models that answer questions about how to manage natural resources like fisheries and whales.
Give me a brief introduction to the herring program that we'll be talking about today.
So the herring program is a long-term program to address why the herring population in Prince William Sound collapsed shortly after the Exxon Valdez oil spill and why it's failed to recover.
And who's funding this research?
It's the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council.
So what part of the program do you guys fit into?
So we are currently working in improving the stock assessment model, which is the main management tool that estimates the abundance of herring in the sound and also informs management to make proper decisions such as opening or closing the fishery.
So what are the main components of the work that you guys do?
Lots of number crunching on a computer. I work with computer programming to develop these complex models that incorporate a bunch of different factors about the herring's biology, as well as some other environmental factors to estimate the abundance of herring.
So you're taking all the pieces that the other researchers in the program produce and put them into a model?
Yes.
And how does it differ from the models in the past?
Well, the existing model that's run by ADFNG, it doesn't account for the uncertainty around the estimates in quite the same way. So the sort of state of the art nowadays is to use what's called a Bayesian framework, which is just a fancy word for we figure out the uncertainty and that's part of the model.
Let's break it down even a little bit farther. What is Bayesian statistics? Like, what is that generally?
So Bayesian statistics, the best way of understanding that is like a prosecutor who's trying to figure out who is the guilty person that murdered somebody random on the street. And it turns out they have some DNA evidence. Now, regular statistics, you would go and analyze the DNA evidence and you would maybe test a few people and you would discover that, oh, there's a match between the DNA evidence and this person, random person on the street. And according to the DNA evidence, it says there's only a 1 in 1,000,000 chance that this person could have matched by chance. Bayesian statistics says, well, it depends how many people you compared the DNA evidence with. If you compared the DNA evidence with 10 million people, then you probably would have found a match by chance. And so Bayesian evidence says, well, there's more than just that single chance. There's also how many people did you compare it with? So when we write these models, how that translates is there is other evidence we need to include in our models besides just the data we collected from this particular fishery. And so we, just like you know the evidence that there are 10 million other people in the murder case, in fisheries, you know there's evidence from other fisheries that you can use in your model. And Bayesian statistics allows you to put that evidence in.
So what are you guys experimenting with when you're doing this work? Are you taking out certain variables to see which ones have more significance than others?
So yeah, part of our work that has been done has included looking at the different data sets that are incorporated into this model. So surveys have been conducted of the herring abundance in the sound, including the use of acoustics and nets to catch the fish. And then there's also some biological sampling that looks at the proportions of age in the population, as well as sex. And we also collect disease information. And so these data sets have been collected for a while now, and we've used these modeling tools to assess the value of the information. So in the Bayesian framework, we can kind of assign a weighting to how well they inform the outcome, the desired variable, such as adult biomass. Then also put a monetary value, a dollar sign, on these data sets and say, well, if this sampling technique is expensive, is it worthwhile if it doesn't improve the accuracy of the model? And so that's one way we've looked at these models. And another way is considering other factors just beyond the population itself. So obviously there's so many different environmental and other marine mammals and organisms that may have an impact on a population, whether it's through predation on them or a competition, but also things such as temperatures and changes in oceanic conditions can impact the survival and growth of herring and ultimately the adult biomass that we estimate.
So what variables are you finding to be the most important in this model?
Well, the key thing that makes a big difference in this population is how many new recruits come in, how many new baby fish are added to the population every year. And we've been looking at lots and lots of time series of other herring populations around the world and asking, well, is that recruitment very variable or not? And it turns out it is highly variable. And what's unusual about Prince William Sound herring is that we had some good recruitment events in the 1980s, and we really haven't had any good recruitment events since then. So that's one reason why the population hasn't recovered yet. And when we look in context of all the other time series that we've collected, it turns out Prince William Sound has stayed down at low levels for much longer time than we would expect from other herring populations. So it's long overdue for recovery.
What's been the most exciting part about this work?
What I find exciting about this work is that while I focus a lot on the math and computer programming, I also get a chance to come to these meetings and get to hear the input from policymakers and social aspects, the economics about it, and also the fishermen themselves. And so it's a hotbed of different perspectives and teaches me to be more well-versed in not just computer programming language, but the human language as well.
How about you, Trevor?
Well, from my perspective, what's really interesting about this project is the science behind it. It's extremely unusual to have a system where someone has been able to study the oceanography, all the predators, the plankton, phytoplankton and the zooplankton, all the food that the herring need to eat, and all of those aspects of herring abundance, as well as time trends and doing numerous surveys to figure out if they've recovered or not. And so they're probably better data on Prince William Sound herring than on any other population of herring in the world. So we should be able to answer some really deep, interesting science questions from all those data. And that's what really keeps me involved and excited about this project.
Talking about the future, what does the future hold for this work?
I think the holy grail of fisheries management is, why is recruitment big sometimes? Why do we get lots of baby fish arriving in a population sometimes and other times we don't? And what we plan to do is look and see if we can use all the data we've collected from this population over decades to answer that question. Now, maybe that's a pipe dream, maybe it isn't, but if we don't try, we'll never know. So that's one of the big projects we plan to do in the next 5 years. Another one is to ask whether the current way of managing the fishery gives you the highest average catch at the lowest risk to the population. So maybe there are other rules that we could use to manage the population better, but before we put them in place, we have to test them. And of course, you can't just go and test them on another fishery. What we do instead is we test them on our computer models. So we can run a computer model thousands and thousands or millions of times and ask which of these rules works best over the long term. And that's what we plan to do in the next 5 years as well.
Great. Well, thanks so much for talking to me, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Field Notes, a production by the Prince William Sound Science Center. To learn more or to support this program, visit us on the web at pwssc.org.